Well, we're going to, this morning, it's one of those things as a walk by faith. Before I went to bed last night, the Lord changed my sermon. So, there's just some things that happened. You know, there's certain things you just get inspired in your spirit to do. And I had been meditating on some scriptures and stuff that some things along the line with specifically dealing with being led by the Spirit. But this morning it'll touch into that. But when I did, I just had a compelling in my heart because certain things rose up and I just started praying and talking to the Lord. And when I did, I just saw something in the Spirit and that just changed everything. I knew what I was supposed to do. And this morning, we're going to be dealing with some things out of the Scripture. Back in October, we had talked before a number of times about the devil's attack on me where he lost and tried to take my life, but it didn't work. After that took place, I was released from the hospital on Wednesday. I talked to the doctors. I told them about, you know, because they had the things of, and I said I had planned to travel. I said on Monday I was leaving to go to Branson. I said to the head cardiologist who came in and talked to me, and I had told him the night before when I had went in the hospital and I saw him, and I said I was going to be, Monday I have plans to go, and I mean they had just put me in, and I said I got plans to go Monday. I'm just, you know, and so he said to me about concerning my recovery, and especially the following day he said, "Gee, you're doing really great." He said, you know, he was sort of confused on the thing, and so I went out to Branson to attend Randall Greer's meetings out there. I really felt I was supposed to. There's one thing that I've learned, and you need to learn. One of the things, and you're going to find this out, is why things lots of times don't work for Christians, because they don't walk by faith. We let circumstances determine. Do you know, the only way I wasn't going to Branson was if God told me not to go to Branson. I don't care what my physical circumstances were. The Lord had told me to go to those meetings. See, most people will always change when the circumstance changes, and that's why their faith don't work. See, I told the doctor I was going. See, it didn't matter to me what his opinion was on it. His opinion did not count. God's opinion. See, I've had more than one circumstances where something happened to me right before I was supposed to leave, like on a mission trip and stuff. I had a thing happen, and I said to Wanda, I said, the Lord didn't tell me not to go. So I'm going. Well, it didn't seem convenient to go at all. It seemed to have been very painful to go. But by acting on that, the following day, I had a miracle took place and I was instantly healed and delivered the next day. That would have never came had I obeyed what people normally would obey, what their body would tell them. You have to learn that. Miracles come by doing things opposite of natural. I thank God what doctors can know and what they can do, but they aren't the last say in Ed's life. They're not the last say. And you have to come down to that. You have to come to that place if you want the miraculous. You're going to have to come to that place. See, this is where the hard thing is. See, today, and we're going to talk a little bit about this morning, this is one of the reasons why we don't have a move of God that God wants to bring. Because we live by our smarts and education, and it's killing us. It's keeping the move of God from taking place. Remember about this, the move of God happens through you and me, and God can't perform through you no more than you can trust Him. Right now in America, the average Christian, even who says they believe in divine healing, will put 100 times more credibility to what the doctor says than what the Bible says. Now I'm just being honest. I'm not saying to criticize anybody. It's the way it is. It used not be like that. When I first came into the kingdom, man, God said, and people would just, well, God said. That's gone, long gone. And that's long gone among the people who used to do that. They've left it. And you need to understand what you have left, you got to come back to. You see, Many people, we want a move of God, but there's things that we left and we have to come back to. It's like Isaac. He went and redug the wells of Abraham. He went back and drank of the things of the past. That's a symbolism in that. You can't throw the past out of the glory of the past because those are stepping stones to the glory of the future. And everybody, what they want to do, they want to step. You know, there's a stairs and I want to start on the 10th step. No, you got to start on the first step. And if you've walked the steps that God has laid down, and many times through others, revelations that they brought, things, and you go to those. The Lord's been dealing, this year has been a year for me of going back in to walking in anointings of the past. And I have stepped into anointings of the past, and now I'm into anointings of the future. But I wouldn't have gone there had I not gone back to the anointings of the past and go back to drink of those wells again. Go back to things that I walked past, things that I wasn't, you know, doing anymore. Things the Lord dealt with me about stuff, about, you know, dealing with myself about things. And He had to deal with me about things, about, you know, my excitement concerning the Word of God and why, you know, there's things that I just took for granted anymore that, you know, you just take for granted. You know, you're a Christian and you just, but you know what, you don't walk in the light of it and it doesn't excite you anymore like it did. And then I started realizing God has not changed. I have. He stayed the same. But anyhow, in those meetings, Randall Greer had a message that he preached. And when he preached that message, I knew that God had some things he wanted me to talk about concerning that. But I didn't know what. Because, you know, sometimes the Lord, he'll have you take something that was taught to you and go just teach it to others as it is. But I just know there were certain things within that. And it's one of those things that's, I would use an old saying. I had a thing, what I would call stuck in my crawl, what they call it, you know. Birds have a crawl and they used to have that old saying, something gets stuck in your crawl. And concerning this message that he ministered there, there's just something that stuck me. And ever since I came back, I'd get over into things and that would just keep coming back to me and that would keep coming. And so last night, the Lord brought some things back to me and we're going to talk about that. He talked to me this morning about some things. Because of what we're moving in coming up this year. Let me just say this to you. Right now, this season we're in, and I'm not talking about Christmas season. That's man's season. Christmas is not on the top of God's list right now. It's on the top of the church's list, but most of the church ain't on the top of God's list. What's God doing and what's God saying? This is what's important right now. I'm not against Christmas. I love Christmas. I like Christmas time. I enjoy it. My wife and I, we've always enjoyed Christmas. It's always a big deal with us. We just give a lot of gifts and we just do things. And, you know, we never buy for each other. We always buy for everybody else. Hallelujah. Why? Because I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in heaven places in Christ Jesus. I don't have to try to get a thing. Stuff will chase me down. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm blessed. Hallelujah. But I want to bless other people. That's what's in me. That's what Christ, God put in me, is to bless other people. That's what you want to do. And I enjoy the Christmas season. But we're in a very important time spiritually. And we need to get out of the religious Christian mode. We need to get out of this thing of just following the practice. You know, most of the church, they're going to start this Lenten season stuff. You know, and all the things, and praise God. But they'll follow their traditions of the things they're teaching. And you know what? Whether you realize, and I'm not saying it's criticize anybody. There's a lot of paganism in it. Because it has no value. It's just the practice of stuff. It has no real heart meaning to people anymore. Christmas. Even most Christians do not have a lot of heart meaning. We've lost it. We've left it. Oh, we make a big deal. Oh, they want to stop the name Christmas and they call it Happy Holidays. Who cares? I don't care what the world calls it. It's what it is in me that counts to God, not what the world's saying about it. What is it in me? The pagan Christians run around and complain about somebody going to change the name. Dear God. When they don't respect the day at all anyhow. They might as well, you know, we don't. Oh boy, people don't believe in Santa Claus. The church might as well believe in Santa Claus. Jesus ain't no more real to them. Let's get real about this stuff. Oh dear God, We worry about stuff that ain't even amount to a hill of beans. We don't stop and say, you know, where am I in this thing? Where am I? Where's my heart in this thing? Well, one of the things that was brought out at this meeting that really that struck me was this. Is Randall Greer got he got this thing, but you know, revelation anyhow in the teaching he's talking about. But anyhow, he said this, and the Lord had shown him. And you folks have heard me talk about this, and the Lord had brought this up to him about it. You see, it's one of the things that the church world is always talking about, this last day move of God. And the last day move of God is here. It is not coming. I want you to understand, it is not coming. It is here. It's about us hooking up with it. And this is one of the things that the Lord spoke to him about there. The Lord said this to him. First of all, the Lord said this to him and reminded him. And I have, you know, like there's MP3s and stuff I got teaching years ago from Kenneth Hagin. And he was teaching on the areas of faith. And he used an illustration. He talked about he was with at a minister's home and a minister's wife who had cancer. And she was dying. And they had had themselves, him and his wife was a minister, and another minister couple. So there were three ministry couples. And they were at this minister's house, and they were praying, and what they were doing, they were praying. They were only sleeping 4 hours at night, and they were praying concerning for her deliverance, and they were praying. And on the third night, they would sleep for 4 hours, and then they would spend all the rest of the time they were in that room praying. And Kenneth Hagin, on the third night, they went in to lay down to rest, and he said to this one minister, he said, I never prayed this long without hearing from God. Well, most Christians never prayed that long. But he said, I never prayed that long without hearing from God. And he said, we're missing it, he said, somewhere. He said, God's not missing it. We're missing it somewhere. And see, you come to that group, you need to come to this. God ain't missing. Most people blame God. You know, for some reason, God's holding out. Well, sure, we'd never believe it'd be, we'd messed up anyway. My God, we're better than God, aren't we? No? He said, you know what? He said, we have been dealing and working on the sending end. And he said, the problem's not with the sending end, it's on the receiving end. He said, we need to change how we've been praying. Now, years ago when I heard him say this, I was just a young Christian, only a few months old when I heard him talk about this. And this changed my prayer life. Because from that time on, prayer was never the same to me. I always knew God was in the business of trying everything he could to bless me. I had to come in line with whatever so he could do it. It wasn't from his side, it was from my side. And this is what the Lord said to Randall Greer concerning it, gave him that illustration, and he said, that's what's wrong today. He said, the Lord has already sent the revival. He said, the church is not in a position to receive it. He said, changes got to be made in Christians to receive it. You know, that's what this year, a lot of my teaching's been about. It's about us changing. We got to change. Why? To receive it. See, I found out this year has been a real big year for me for change. I've been going through things to change, and I found out the more I desire to change, the more the devil brings pressure against me not to change. He don't want me to change. And he brings pressure. Why? So you'll stop moving ahead. So you'll let those things that he brings against you be the things you'll stop and say, you know, I gotta deal with this problem over here. So you quit pushing on the area to change. Just like the Lord didn't want me at that meeting, and I knew I needed to be in that meeting because of what was going to be said. People don't realize how they miss stuff. They don't realize how they miss things. See, we need to come to the place we, you know, because the devil, he's going to keep throwing roadblocks out to you. The life of faith is not about things going right. The life of faith is about changing things that go wrong. It's about changing the stuff that comes out. It's about overcoming the roadblocks that are set in front of you till you get to the victory. That you see that victory down there, and I'm not going to move till I have that. Till I get that. God said that's mine, and I ain't quitting till I have it. This is about a fight. We're fighting the good fight of faith. There's no other fight to fight. It's a good fight of faith. And faith is not about what you see, feel, or think. It's not about that. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Boy, let me tell you, here lately, it seems lots of times I'm in the position of not seeing at all. But I know I got to walk by faith. I got to believe what the Word says, no matter what I see seems the opposite of it. What I see and say, no, the Bible says this. And this is where I'm going to head. I want to keep myself in a place to receive. If you start getting over into the natural side, you start to think, here's what religion does all the time. Religion looks at the circumstances, and instead of stopping and trying to overcome through faith, religion always stops and starts a new theology and says, well, God put this block here for some reason. He's trying to teach me something. And so then what we say, see, God really didn't want me to have what he said belonged to me. You know, Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses, but, you know, he wants me sick for a reason. Well, then that's like saying he wanted me to sin for a reason. Does God want me to sin for a reason? But see, religion will start doing things. When obstacles come, men change. We got to become the unchangeable. That's what the Word of God, be like the Word, be unchangeable. Don't be moved by the pressures or the things of life. I want us to go today, we're going to go over into an area, we're going to look into a thing in the Old Testament. We're going to look at a guy named Gideon, we're going to go over the book of Judges. There's a types and shadows. One thing is we have in the Old Testament, there's types and shadows. There are principles that are laid out that change not. You know, there's things in the Bible. You know, the New Testament we have, you know, it tells us, you know, whatever we sow, we're going to reap. That's not a New Testament principle. That's a spiritual principle of the kingdom of God. That's the way it always has worked. In the Old Testament, it was the same. What you reap, you sow. See, in the natural, we have that concerning seed. A farmer don't go out and plant barley and expect to get corn out of his field. Why? Because our natural principles are examples of spiritual principles that take place in the kingdom of God. Why? Because our physical realm that we live in came out of that realm. It was created out of the realm of the spirit. And it's all in likeness to that realm. So we can look at principles. This is why the devil works so hard to push, to get you to believe, you know, in evolution, that we were once monkeys and we got turned out. He don't want you to follow that principle. And most of the church has already bought it. Most of the church world. Big name ministers right now. You know, they're over on the side, well, you know, science has proved on the evolution thing and blah, blah, blah. You know, science goes above the Word. And they turn around and preach. I've heard them preach it. I've heard them tell these things. I've heard them say these things. And I tell you, I don't listen to them anymore. I don't care. People say, oh, well, they do have a lot of other good things they say. I don't want to have to weed through their stupid junk garbage yard to try to find grass. I ain't doing it. When you start touching the basic principles of the Bible and change them, I'll guarantee you there's going to be too much changed. I don't believe you get to heaven just because one day you accepted Jesus. You can't go preach other gospels. You're going to be accountable for it. And anyhow, in the book of Judges, the sixth chapter, we want to talk here about Gideon. We're going to find a principle that's going on that happened, and I want to share some things. One of the things that I say as we go in and look at this thing in this story, I want to say to you the vision, thing that I saw in the vision. And I was praying, I said to the Lord about, because I was talking to the Lord about, I was praying about things going on in our nation, things happening against the president and different, all this fighting and fuss. And I said, Lord, the trouble. I said, we put this thing over here. I said, there's this enormous amount of problems. I said, with the world and our nation, there's just, I mean, if you sit here and you look at it, I mean, it's just huge. And in the spirit I saw, it's just like this huge thing. And on the other side, I saw me. And I was this little thing over here. And the problems over here were huge. And then there's this gap between. And I just said to the Lord, I said, Lord, the only thing between me and this thing is you. I said, Lord, I said, I can't change that. Myself, I can't change that. And I thought, look at me, that I'm small. And the Lord said this to me, you need to get smaller. You need to get smaller. And when he said that, I realized this. There's things I'm still trying to do without him. There's things I'm still trying to do. There's things that I'm trying to do because of the past and walking in things and walking in my knowledge. You know, when the Apostle Paul said, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong, that wasn't some religious statement trying to be nice. Paul knew when he had no more of him, he had come to the spot where he's going to trust God. Every one of us have places we're not trusting God. And if you don't identify them, you'll never change. And you're going to have a place there of your weakness that's going to keep you from the glory. That God has glory to fill that spot. That if you operate in it by faith, it's going to change that big blob over there. That huge thing. Because he can change that. We want to look at something. I want you to see something because of the parallels. In the 6th chapter of the book of Judges, in the first verse says, then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them to the hands of the Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel made themselves the dens and caves and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was, whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up. Also Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to them. Thus says the a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up out of Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all the oppressed, and you drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also, I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. Now, I want to talk, because we're talking about here we have this natural thing going on, but we need to understand that spiritually is going on today. As Israel here, Israel did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Generally, this is the picture of the church today. The church has done much evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, we need to understand this. Today, the church has done much. And see, we don't see, people talk about things, doing good things. I've been around the things with churches and doing all kind of so-called good stuff that they call good things. But I'll tell you, to God, it's not. You know, we need to understand, just because we go through our routines of religion doesn't mean we're anything pleasing to God. God told Israel, they were doing all the sacrificing at the temple, and he said, I hate your sacrifices. He said, I hate your holy days. I hate all the stuff you do. I don't like it. You see, they were going through all the routines and they were going, but it wasn't what they wanted. It wasn't what, they're just going through their things. Their hearts weren't in it. See, it's about having our hearts in this thing, and it's about doing evil. Today, one of the great evils in the church world is we've opened the door to the world to bring their stuff in so we can try to reach them. We let them come in with their junk. We let them bring their stuff in. Why? To make them comfortable in the presence of God. Sinners are never supposed to be comfortable in the presence of God. There can be no draw of God to change the life of an individual who's happy the way he is. It will never take place. We've made playgrounds instead of churches. places where people can come. It's just like now. You know, Christmas now is nothing but pageantry to the church. It's nothing but all their things, and we go through the things and the baby Jesus, and then we keep him a baby too. We don't want him to grow up. It's because people love the little baby thing. Well, I'm going to tell you, he ain't no baby no more. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you're all going to answer to him, me included, one day. We're going to stand before him and be judged on what we did in our bodies. We ain't going to a manger. We've lost this preaching. We've lost. There's no fear of God. It's left because evil has come into the church. Churches, they have their concerts instead of worship services. All their lights, they brought smoke machines. They've done all kinds of stuff. Anything to reach the world. We have a church in this town who used to preach the gospel. And now, in the mornings, they play 70s rock music to bring people in and comfortable, to make them comfortable. 70s rock music. They play all that drug stuff to get people in, to make people feel good. I mean, you need to cast the devil out of that pastor. He's full of the devil. They're talking about good people. They're reaching people. But, you know, now this, they've had to increase the size of their church. They had to add on to it. Yeah, to get, so they could have more hell. You know, because hell's enlarging. Hell's getting bigger. You see, we got these things going on. Evil. You know, we have here, you know, it says God delivered them into the hands. Well, God didn't deliver them per se. They left God. See, and what's the thing of this? If we leave God, God can't go on the ride with us. He's not going on the ride with us. And we need to understand that he's not. And we're dealing with a church world out here that's really messed up. And what we have to do today, we have the idea of big. Today it's about being big. Oh, enlarging and getting better and getting more and having more and doing more. Man, that's a sign of God. That's one of the biggest failures of the church. Is what do I do to get big? Today, mostly to get big means become more worldly. Come more like the world so we can grow. Get people in. You know, a lot of people love big churches. I know I was, you know, some years ago involved in a very large church. And one of the things I found out about many people in that church, they like the large church because you can come and hide out. And the pastors, they get so busy doing stuff, they lose their spirituality and they don't know who's hiding out or who's not. And they minister to everybody the same when there's loads of people need to be told about what they're doing. But they can't hear or know God to tell anybody anything. Because you got to keep the money flowing so you can pay for the big church. And if you say too many things like I'm talking this morning, the checks leave the door. The uncomfortable go get... Go to the church that makes me comfortable. And there's plenty of those. There's plenty of them. You just go and you just say, you know, that bad minister over there is treating me wrong. I'm a hurting Christian. Oh, come over here. We'll pamper and pet you. And for the rest of your life, you can be this poor hurting Christian. And the only reason they're hurting because they live like hell. They're supposed to hurt. Greatest problem we have in the church today is hurting Christians. What they are big baby Christians that won't walk in love, and anybody says or does anything that hurts their feelings, they get upset. My God, get over it in life. Somebody's always going to say something, and if you can't take it, that's a good sign you're a big baby. Somebody's always going to do something. My God. If I got upset every time somebody has said something over the ear, dear Lord, I'd be out of the ministry for sure, like most of them are. They can't stay around. Somebody would say something. Dear God. In life, I don't care what you don't have to be a Christian. You be a sinner. People will talk about you. My words, you get people call each other friends and run each other down. I mean, it's just, it's life. But you get the whiners and the babies. And today the church is geared toward taking care of those people. Instead of telling them, strap up or shut up, sit down, keep your blab mouth shut and listen. Oh no, we can't do that. We got to love them. And love them means this. Help them be babies for the rest of their life. That is loving them. You see, there's a lot of evil and sin in the church. We allow it in. We allow it to dominate. Our ministries today are run by problems rather than God. Whatever's the problem, that's the thing we focus on. We don't focus on God. We focus on the problem. A person becomes a problem. Let's have a special ministry to the problem. Let's come up with it. What does God want? Who cares what God wants? We're loving. We want to fix this thing. God, what do you want? Boy, that's a foreign voice. God, what are you saying to do? What do you want? What do you want the church to be? God, what do you want me to be? See, we have to why? Because why? We grow these images. People have taught us over the years what being a Christian is. Much of it's wrong. Much of it isn't in line with the Bible. It's just being this good, nice, so-called nice person. But you know, God's not really in the picture of it. He's not dominating and ruling. He's not dominating me. I'm dominating. I'm letting this doctrine that we have just dominate me. And the doctrine we have isn't even in line with the Bible. You know, it's like when the Lord spoke to me early in the year and he said, would you move over in the pulpit and let me do some talking? I said, well, yes, sir. I said, I'll start doing that. So I just, you know, I've been really... You know, and I'm going to tell you what, it can be very uncomfortable. I was this morning and I was just here, Lord, you just told me what I was supposed to talk about, but you didn't really tell me what I'm supposed to talk about with it. I don't know. So I said, well, see, he put you in an uncomfortable spot. I'm going to have to listen to it. I'm going to have to let him talk. But see, it'll change us because he has something he wants to do in us here. We have an opportunity here for something great in us. For God to do something wonderful and great, we have an opportunity. And we have here, Israel's in all this trouble, and it's trouble that they caused. Now, I want you to get a hold of this that you need to know, because you need to understand this. We have been really focusing the last couple of years, and especially into this year, concerning the Word of God. The Word is first. Do you notice that God, Israel wants deliverance. Did He send a miracle first? He sent a preacher first. This is what people don't want today. You see, you must come back to the Word. That's number one. You got to get back. If you want to flow in the move of God, you got to come back to the Word. See, that was the picture of Isaac redigging the wells. It was a picture of him getting back to what his father had done. It's getting back to the promises of God that God spoke to him, getting in line with those things, walking in line. That's what it's trying to show us. Jacob came along and God led Jacob back to walk in the light of what God had said. See, the whole thing of it is, I've always loved Jacob because Jacob, he wanted to lead the way. He didn't want a blessing. He wanted to carry. He wanted to be a carrier of the covenant. You, no more than you will get into the Word and walk in the Word, are you a carrier of the covenant? Covenant is words that God gave, is on the page that explain what God has said. We must come back to the covenant to know this covenant that was given to us. And this covenant must become part of our life as what it is what the covenant says comes first. And see, first God sent back and told them, you got to get in line. What happened? You left my covenant. You disobeyed. This happened. What happened to you here? For 7 years, the Midianites have impoverished you. See, the church has been impoverished spiritually. I have walked in moves of God of the past. I have been in nations. I've had anointings on me that I've never had here in America, that I've had in other nations when I ministered. Lord God, there's nothing like anything I've ever had here in the United States. I've walked in moves of God. And I tell you what, that's what I'm interested in. What do I do so I can come to that place to walk in? Now, one of the things that I do know this, if the church in America doesn't come back, if people don't, Christians start getting back in line again, there's no point in God anointing people with great anointings because they ain't going to produce nothing anyhow because the people will kill it. So see, I don't want to kill the work God's trying to do. I want to be an enhancer of that. I want to be an enhancer. That if God anoints somebody to do something, I want to be an enhancer of that anointing. Because understand this, God always anoints someone for others. If you don't hook up where you're supposed to, you become a dam instead of a river, and you stop the anointing from flowing, which God sent for you. You don't want to do that. You want to be a person that causes that anointing to flow in a greater measure. You want to be a drawer on that thing. You don't want to be a dam in it. Hallelujah. And that's not what we're trying to do here. We want to be a river here. Hallelujah. I ain't interested how many people you can get. I'm interested in the water we're drinking. That's what I'm interested in. Because the crowds will drink out of the sores. They don't care. We ain't drinking out of the sores. We're not drinking out of sores here, hallelujah. We're drinking out of wells that have been dug by people who walked in the Spirit before us, hallelujah. And they dug wells, and those wells have proved themselves over the years on the Word of God, hallelujah, that they work, hallelujah. And if you drink of those wells, you'll get somewhere, hallelujah. And that's where we're drinking from, glory to God, hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't have to start a new religion or a new something or other. I'll tell you, if somebody else got a good one, I'll go with it. I don't care. Today, everybody has to have their own little horn to blow and their own little thing, and somebody pat me on the back. I don't need that. I need a move of God. And if somebody God's going to use, I'll get in on it. Hallelujah. I'll go with them. I'll help them do that thing, whatever it is, because it's going to bless me. It's for me. I ain't worried about somebody else. God said, well, I got to get mine. I don't care. I want theirs. Hallelujah. I'll get theirs too, and I'll get mine too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what we want. We want to, I tell you what, I'm a big believer in the Bible. I believe you can eat, have your cake and eat it too. I don't believe in what the world says. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you, I want it all. I don't know about you. I want it all. Say, well, you sort of sound greedy. Yeah, let me alone. If God offered it, I want it. He should have never offered it if He didn't want me to have it. We need to get greedy concerning these things of the Spirit in this move. I want God to anoint people. I want people full of the Holy Ghost and power. I want these things. I know that it's influence. Just like with Kenneth Hagin, his influence on my life from being around him and around his teaching. What it did to my life. How it changed me. His anointing. Why? It wasn't for him. It was for anybody who would yield to that thing. God sent it, and it blessed me. And over the years, I've been around people that have blessed me. They got anointed by God, and it blessed me. That's why the church today has so little blessing, because most people, you know, they won't go get near anything. They won't go get near nothing. You know, most Christians don't even like to go to church. They don't want to be around it. Just walk around saying, I'm a Christian. You got to get near something, you know, to get it on you. You know, television ain't working. Television Christianity ain't working. Have you noticed it? Has Christians gotten better because we have loads of ministers on TV? No, you're going to have to get near some things. There's things that you don't get near to, the individual. See, Elisha is a picture of that with Elijah. He didn't say, I'll stay home and watch you on television. He said, uh-uh, you ain't getting rid of me, boy. I'm getting close to you because you got something I want. And you know what? I want more than you got. When we get there, I like what you have, but I want twice as much of it. Ooh, I like that. I like that. I want to be twice the blessing. Do you know in the Scriptures actually is recorded, Elijah has twice as many miracles recorded in Scripture as Elijah had. Twice as many. So he got it according to the Scripture. And I mean, they're the recorded ones. Surely there was many more things that happened than just the ones that are recorded in the Scriptures, but the things that we have in there. Because he wanted something. It's getting near to something. Coming close to something. And somebody got something. It gets on you. That's a wonderful thing about the tangible anointing. It'll get on you. If you like, you know how to pull it by faith. It'll get on you. Glory to God. Woo! Get it on you. Get near things to get it on. Why does the Scripture have things? Why do we lay hands on people? See, I get tired of these people saying, we lay hands on people. It's a sign. It ain't a sign. It's an impartation. Amen. It ain't a sign. Amen. This is why we have too many empty hands laying on top of empty heads. We got too many hands that ain't got a thing from God, laying hands on heads that are full of nothing. And what do we end up with? Probably less than what we had. Glory to God. It probably stuck something out of them. Glory to God. But see, somebody got something. Touch me. There was a minister up in Canada who is a really good church. And he was a Brahmin priest, Hindu priest, and he got born again, and he lives up in Canada now, and he has a church. But he had went to Rhema. When he was at Rhema, that every chance he would get around Brother Hagin. He would always like to touch Brother Hagin. He would always get near to touch Brother Hagin. He wanted what Brother Hagin had. And he said, he would always get around close to him to touch him. And Brother Hagin shaking hands with people, he'd walk up, shake, he said, and he had a purpose. This wasn't a friendly thing. That anointing on Brother Hagin. Well, I'll tell you what, he got some of it too. He got things by touching that man. He was drawing things out of him. Just like with the woman with the issue of blood. She got something. She got something going to Jesus. The whole crowd is touching her. Not even one disciple got anything from Jesus. None of his disciples got anything. They're all standing around, and he said, somebody touch me. What you talking about, Jesus? These are the spiritual boys. What you talking about? What do you mean? Can't you see the crowds running into you? These guys have been around all these miracles, and they still ain't got it. And some woman who's never met him before just heard about him and said, I'd go over there and touch him and get something. And the dumb disciples don't even know that works. That's the church today, full of dummies. It's full of dummies. They don't know this stuff works. It's all religion. It's all religion. And some little old woman over there don't know nothing. She said, I'd go over there and I'd just touch his clothes. I'll get healed. And the disciples are going, we walk around with the guy, aren't we something? See, there's somebody has faith will draw something. She went there and said, I go touch him, I'm going to get healed. The disciples said, we're going to walk. We're just walking along and there's a crowd. That whole crowd, just had people touching him, getting nothing. Yet the power of God was there to heal. Yet they got nothing. We know the power of God was there to heal. But you know what gets it? Faith. That woman said, if I touch him, I'm going to be made whole. Just think that. Everybody in the crowd that wanted healed, you don't get healed. You don't get delivered. You don't get the anointing or power of God because you want it. You got to take it by faith. You got to take it. You got to take it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm not going to read this, the whole thing this morning in through here, but I would encourage you to go through if the Lord has me minister on him more. But we could go over into this story and look at an angel appears to Gideon out of this thing. An angel comes and appears to him in the sixth chapter. If you read down through it, an angel comes and talks to him, calls him a mighty man of valor. This is one thing I want you to understand about God. God today, this is one of the things God will always do. God, see, brings the preacher back to bring the word back, to bring you back to faith. See, you're a child of God. That's what you are. See, he comes back. You're a mighty man of valor. How do people say, well, you know, they have a lot of things of why it's said. He is speaking to a Jew who is under the covenant. They were all supposed to be mighty men of valor. He's reminding them of what their covenant, who they are. He says to Gideon what he is. Look at Israel going in the land. Wouldn't you call them mighty men of valor when they showed up at Jericho? There were some mighty people of valor there, weren't they? They went down there and marched around. And he said, you're a mighty man of valor. Now, Gideon said to this, why has God forsaken us? Well, he didn't realize God didn't forsake them. They had forsaken God, and they ended up in the situation they were in. But one thing is we find out about this Gideon, what he does, at first he doesn't know that angel is an angel from God. He thinks it's a guy talking. But he thinks it's somebody sent from God. And the first thing he does to them, he says, don't you go nowhere till I give you a sacrifice. I want to give you something. In other words, he's going to make a meal for this guy. And believe me, it was a sacrificial meal. These people are impoverished. If you go and read the story, you find out Gideon says this. He said, my family's the poorest and least of the families, he said, in Manasseh, and I'm the least, I'm the littlest guy of the bunch and the least in my family. In other words, we're poverty. He's hiding out in a wine press trying to just make a little bit of flour to make some food. And what does he do? He offers that. Somebody comes along that is speaking to him because anything is a God. He is a willing giver. He doesn't use, I don't have enough. You need to understand this. God's always going to require of you faith. If you're waiting till you have something before you're going to operate in faith and do something for God or give or anything, you're going to stay the way you are. The first thing he did was to do that. And he went and killed a goat. Now these people are impoverished. No, today we would say, you know, God would have showed up and sent them a meal. He didn't. Why? Because the principles of the kingdom are give and it shall be given unto you. If God does it another way, he's keeping them poor. Oh, the church is so good at that today. We are the biggest pushers of poverty you have ever seen. We're going to keep the poor poor because they have to come and worship us for their meals. They have to come and bow down to us to get their us because we're so loving. We keep giving to them and never tell them they got to do it. I tell people all the time. I was down in Mexico teaching in a Bible school. And I told the class there, I said, I'm going to always have more than you have. Because I said, I'm the guy that comes down here and spends my money to come and preach to you. I said, you're not doing anything to preach to give. You're just taking. I said, you don't get give. You're going to be a blessed to taking. I said, I'm always going to be the blessed guy of the bunch. Amen. I said, the reason you guys have trouble down here, I said, you think America's God. And you keep going around here and you keep looking over there for us to send you checks. I said, I don't get my checks from there. I get them from God. I said, I sow. I said, you're going to have to do what I do if you want to be blessed. You're going to have to do it. We don't teach that to people today. We don't do it. We sit around. We're always this. We're a one-sided. You know, it's all right to help somebody, but you got to teach them. If they ain't going to pick up on it, you're going to have to take care of them for the rest of your life. You're going to have to do that because they ain't ever going to go nowhere. You got to teach them, say, you know how I get blessed and I have to give to you? Because I'm a giver! Glory to God! And if you don't give, you're always going to be poor. I've said and told people that many times. I've told people, you ain't, as long as you keep doing what you're doing, you're always going to be poor. You ain't going nowhere. You can tell me believe in God and whatever else you want and everything. You're always going to be on the bottom of the totem pole. There's principles of the kingdom that must be followed for God to get involved, no matter how much he loves you and wants to do it. God will watch you, loving you like crazy, watch you starve to death. Look around the world. Are there people starving to death? God don't love them? God don't send lunch just because he's God. You see, we need to if you don't gain these principles, our success is what I do with the Word of God. That I begin to live like it's true. My wife and I, we gave when we didn't have nothing. We turned around and said, what we do have, we're going to give it. We're going to start giving because there's a principle here. And I need blessing. I ain't waiting for the government. The government. You know, I've told you, there was a couple asked me years ago to marry him. I wouldn't marry him because he didn't have a job, wasn't working, and I knew him. He never stayed in any job. And I told her, why do you want to marry this guy? He's going to be poor. He don't ever work or stay at a job. I said, why on earth do you want to marry him? I said, you're going to be poor all your life. I said, you're going to watch other people go around, have nice stuff, and have cars, and go on vacations, and you're never going to have none of it. Because of that lazy bum. You want to, and you say you love him. What? I said to her, what's wrong with you? I said, you ask me to want to marry, get you two married? I said, dear God. I said, we can't do that. Well, you know what they did? Like most of them do. Well, you always find a preacher that you can give $25-$50 and they'll marry you. Dear Lord, you know, there's all preachers that love money more than anything. And they're going to, and he got somebody to marry him. And they ended up in a divorce because he wouldn't go to work and they had nothing. And she finally decided she wanted something. But she wasted her life for a number of years. And she did that on so-called love. Ugh. I'm going to tell you what, I'd rather marry somebody I didn't love who lived right and be with them than I would somebody who's cute and I say I love. Because I'll tell you, cute goes about that far. You can get sick acute real quick. My wife, you know, says, by getting older, she said, do you ever think about wanting somebody else? I said, honey, I am keeping you. I said, dear God, I said, I don't want none of these young things. I said, man, don't, please don't do that to me. No. I said, no, my God, those days are over, the stupid looking at the pretty one. Because I'll tell you what, we can quit that. Hallelujah. Pretty's caused more trouble than a little bit. Hallelujah. It's walking in God's plan. Hallelujah. Following God. But this Gideon's a giver. Well, one thing we have in this story, if you go through it and follow the 6th and 7th chapter, you find out about the story of this man. One of the things he did is he came along and God anointed him. But I want you to understand what he did. He blew the trumpet to call people in because he's going to fight against the Midianites. He's going to do it. Now I want you to see it also. Think. See, God told him to go down and destroy. On his dad's property, there was an idol there, which people say Baal, but it's actually pronounced Baal. There was this idol that was worshipped. And here's another interesting thing. Now, they're poor and impoverished. But God says to him, I want you to take, your father has two bulls. I want you to take the youngest bull, this one is 7 years old, and I want you to offer that as a sacrifice. He don't think twice about it. He takes it and goes, does it? You see, there's a quality about this guy. I can see why God showed up talking to him. See, this guy is not just a random pick by God. See, when the angel came and talked to him, and he said to the angel, where's the miracles that my forefathers talked about? Where are they? In other words, he'd been thinking about, we ought to be having miracles. You see, you go around most Christian people today, they don't expect no miracles of nothing. They ain't even looking for them. People are just trying to get by from day to day on their stuff, get by their little problems and their little things. They ain't looking for a move of God. He said, man, why don't we have the miracles? Why is it? What, you know, I have always, when I look at the Bible and I see the miracles, the only thing that bugs me, I hate, when we were taught as kids in church, kids in church are usually ruined by being taught these stories about the miracles of the past because all they're taught is the past. They aren't taught that this is supposed to be what we're doing today. That if you don't have them today, there's something wrong. You know? The fact that God delivered me and I'm supposed to be dead at the end of October. See, there's still miracles today. We're supposed to be, you know, because God hasn't changed. It didn't surprise me. I would expect, because that is supposed to be the norm for us, not something extraordinary. Israel coming out of Egypt, were miracles something extraordinary? Man, all they did was, God, even when they're in sin up to their neck, they got to go back out into wilderness, and God still does miracles and feeds them the whole time, and their clothes never wear out. Can you imagine that? Now, ladies, you wouldn't like that at all. You wouldn't go shopping. You wouldn't like that, your shoes and stuff and your clothes. You'd hate that. You just, oh, my God, don't do that, Lord. My wife and me, no, God. Let the shoes go. Let them wear out. Let them go. You can have shoes whether they wear out or not. It don't matter. But you need to understand this. You see, they had miracles. It was the miraculous hand of God upon them was the norm. Today, it is not the norm. It's because it is not believed to be the norm. It is not preached to be normal. It is something happens when everything falls apart and goes bad. Then maybe we can get a miracle. And this is why, because we're too big. As long as we can take care of our problems, we will. We won't let God provide for us. We're so busy providing for us. We're so busy taking care of us in our society. And then we run around and we have made it some kind of great thing to say how busy we are. And we're too busy for God. We're too busy. We think prosperity goes in busyness. Israel prospered at their greatest when they turned around and followed all their Sabbaths and didn't work on the Sabbaths, when they would turn around and would release all debts every 7 years. Whoa! they were what? You see? No, not us. We have all this. We, here in America, this, how many, that's, we just got to figure out more days of the week to work and more hours of the day that we can work and do all these things because we want to be prosperous. Well, there is a prosperity that goes with that. But I'll tell you what, we can hardly pay for that prosperity. It's made a sick, depleted society that is so weak, full of more problems than we could ever deal with. See, we got to let God get back into the church again. But anyhow, we'll go on to tell the story. This Gideon turns around, and God, he blows the horn. God's calling to fight the Midianites, and he blows the horn. 32,000 men show up. 32,000. 32,000. Now understand, he's probably against an army that's much larger than that, because it's the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the armies from the east. It's the three armies have moved into his area. So we're talking about a major army. 32,000 men show up, and this is what God says. You're too big for me to help you, because if you get down there with these 32,000, you'll say you did it. You're going to say you did it. So he says this to them. And we need to understand, because we're dealing with this problem today in the church world. He said, all that are fearful go home. 22,000 left, went home. 22,000 left, went home. You see, today, the church is full of fear. See, as long as the Midianites can run the land, as long as the devil can run the show, fear is going to dominate and rule. You can't let the devil get into your life and let him dominate and rule. He'll always dominate you with fear. Fear will always keep you from obeying the Word of God. Fear will make you afraid. If I stand on the Word, what if it don't work? What if I do this? That's what fear will do. See, they looked down there and they looked and they saw all those Midianites down there. We're 32,000. This ain't big enough. I'm going home. I would rather live under the oppression of Satan than I would to go down there. I might die down there. Man, I'm going to tell you. Shall I tell you what type of guy I am? I would rather die down there than live under the Midianites. See, we don't have that in the American church today. That's not in the church today. The church don't have that. We're holding to everything we can, afraid we're going to lose something. Oh, if we would only let go of things and lose some things, we could have the glory. We could have the glory. See, I want the glory. Well, now we think about this. They're down there, these people, they're like locusts. It's like locusts. Do you ever see locusts? Isn't there what it's like when locusts? I'm not talking about a couple of locusts in it. Locusts over covering the land. So here he sits. He's got 10,000 guys left. God said, you got too many. You're too many. You got too many guys. You got 10,000. There's an army down there. They're like locusts. God says, 10,000 are too big. So God says, take all the guys down the stream to get a drink. And they did. He said, okay, the ones who didn't stoop down and drink out of the water but took their hand, cupped it, and drank out of it, lapped out of it, you keep those. 300 guys. Now, I want to tell you how God will send you into battle. This is why, see, it requires faith to follow God. You know what God gave Gideon to get into battle with? 300 men? You're going to get down there. There's an army that's like locusts down there. Now, we're not taking swords. We're going to go with a trumpet, a pitcher, and this little light thing, and what it was is a thing that they put in the pitcher, this torch that was put in the pitcher. What it would do when it was kept in the pitcher, these things would only, they would like smolder in there. But as soon as you took it off, there was only enough oxygen there to keep it smoldering. And then you took it off, then it would go into a flame. This is what I'm going to do. I got you 300 guys. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a pitcher, a torch, and a trumpet. And you're going to get down against the Midianites. Now, I want you to understand this. See, we heard these stories as a kid, but we never listened to what they're really saying. Now, we need to understand. Gideon and his boys aren't born again. They don't have the nature of God in them. They don't have the Holy Ghost in them, and they would obey. You see, we have a real problem in the church world today. The church is going to be held at a much higher place of responsibility than people who didn't have or didn't know. We need to understand that. Christians need to understand that. They would go. They would follow a guy who was anointed and say, here we go. 300 guys. You know what? I want to be one of the 300. I don't want to be the crowd. I want to become smaller so God can do something great. We need to see a miracle for our nation, and it will not come from the big names. It ain't coming through the big name ministries. It will not. Why? Because they have their big stuff and they want to hang on. We're going to do it with this. No, you're not. Because God is not going to allow. And I'm just telling you, the Lord spoke to me about this. He said, I am not allowed because they will take the glory. See, we did this and we've done that and we've done this. He said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to allow that. He said, the deliverance is going to come. Who ones who couldn't bring it, they didn't have it to bring. I gave it to them. And people will know it's the deliverance of God. And that's why he said to me, you need to become smaller. I need to become smaller. Less of me, more of him. Less of me. Less of my plans and my ideas and my things. Hallelujah. Just more obedience to him. Hallelujah. He took 300 men and delivered a nation. I know that this stuff, see, I've been dealing with it because We see this through Scripture where God, children of Israel, entered into battle, went to battles, and and didn't actually fight the battle. They ended up going down, and God had the enemies turn against one another. And we see those things in Scriptures. We also, if you go to the book of Revelation, you will see it in the book of Revelation. The same thing takes place. And you go to the book of Ezekiel, and Ezekiel's battle, you see the same thing take place, an end time battle, where the battle is they turn on one another. So we see it in the past, we see it in the future. Why couldn't we have it today? Is it just for the past? Is it just for the future? No, we don't have it today because we're figuring out how we're going to win all our battles, what we're going to do. We won't let God work and God bring a great deliverance. Our nation needs a great deliverance, and it needs a great deliverance by the anointing of God and not some person who is, they've achieved or they're smart or that. We don't need that. We need the smart God. He is the only one that, when I saw that vision, he's the only one that can fill that void to deal with that thing. If we stay over in our thing trying to be big, it ain't going to work. It ain't happening. It's got to become less of us. I thank God for the example of Gideon. Gideon was willing to come less. He didn't complain when God took him down to 10,000 guys. He didn't complain when God sent him to 300. He didn't complain. When God said, tell you what, I'll go down there and God had him send him down the camp and heard them talking. God encouraged him along the way, but he still had to go down with 300 guys. He had to be, I don't care what story you tell, you still have to be the one that has to go. You're going to have to make a step out sometime. You're going to have to go outside of fear. You're going to have to step outside of your fears. Because if you don't, you'll never walk in faith. You're going to have to go outside of what you're afraid of. You're going to have to step outside of whatever the doctor's reports is or whatever. You're going to have to step past that thing and lose that fear. You're going to have to. I learned this about walking in divine health. I learned this years ago when I was a young Christian. If you can't get over the fear thing concerning you're afraid to die, you'll never walk in divine health. You'll never have it. It'll never happen. If you're afraid to die, I ain't afraid to die. My God, if I die, I go to heaven. What an awful thing that would be. Dear God, does that ever sound terrible? I'd end up in heaven with Jesus, and I wouldn't see you guys any go. Maybe I'll take a bus tomorrow. just kidding. But But see, you got to come to the place that you're not afraid of it anymore. I found that out. When I lost the fear of sickness and disease, I lost the fear of what it could do. Changed everything. Why? Because that's what Satan holds over people. Fear. He'll hold fear over you. Every time. Well, if I turn around and give this money away, well, I won't have enough for that. And fear, afraid, God's not going to provide. He won't do what he said. Afraid. Satan will always bring fear. Fear is his dominating thing. He's the author of it, fear. Man never had fear till Satan came along on the scene. And then fear entered the scene. He's the promoter of it. And you have to understand that. When fear comes, God said, and Paul wrote, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. It is not a sound mind if you're afraid. You don't have a sound mind. It's not sound to be afraid. That's not sound. Why? Because if fear dominates your thinking and thoughts, man, that's an oppressive thing. It's oppressive. Oh, yeah. I've been there in my life. I know what that is. Fear dominating your life. And you got to come past that thing. You got to get past that thing. God's going to take care of me. If he don't, he'd be a liar. He made promise in his word. And he has to keep his word. Or I don't have to trust him. Why would I trust somebody? People talk about trust in the Lord. Well, trusting the Lord is coming out. What he said is true. Is it true? See, and we got to come to that place. And what it does, it helps you become less. And Paul came to the place. Paul was trying to deal with a demonic power, and he's trying to get God to handle this thing, and God had already handled it. Paul said, you know, this devil keeps bugging me, Lord. Why don't you do something about it? But you understand this, you know, the Bible tells us we cast out devils. Paul was asking God to cast out the devil. He don't do that. You've been given that authority. You cast the devil out. That's our authority here. You don't have to put up with the devil's here. He ain't up in heaven. Jesus ain't going to cast him out. He ain't there. They already threw him out up there. He ain't out up there. It's down here. You get a chance to throw him out. You've been given that authority to do it. Paul said, you know, you need to do that. And God said, my grace is sufficient. And here's the answer to the church. See, God wanted you to have that for a reason. No. His grace was what? Sufficient for kicking him out. It was sufficient to do what he wanted. And then Paul said, and went on talking, and he said, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. In other words, I finally ran out of me. And I took a hold of the grace of God. Woo! I got past me. Woo! What a good thing. My God. This has been a year I've got past me on a few things. It's been good! I got past me. You know, sometimes the devil ain't your trouble, you are. It ain't the devil, it's you. You won't cast you out. You won't say, okay, I've had enough of me. I'm tired of thinking dumb. I don't know if you ever do that. I do. I do that at times. I'll say, Lord, I'm tired of thinking the way that I'm not going this anymore. I've had enough of this. We're changing directions. We're not doing this again. Some of you sitting right here, the Holy Ghost said through, there's things that you have cycles in your life that you go through, certain problems, and you do them over and over again. They're your cycles. And you know why? Because you haven't changed. No, this is not criticism. I know about these things, going through things in cycles of things. Every time something good happens, and this happens, and that happens. And that. Well, you've done confessed it into being. You've been believing for it, and it's been working for you. Hallelujah. I've been expecting evil to happen. You know, you live in this earth, there's things, stuff is going to happen. Things are going to come along. But you don't have to invite it, you know. You don't have to say, come on. We're looking for you. I'm excited about it. Can't wait till you come again so I have it to complain about again so I can go through that another time. See, lots of times we go through these things and we complain about other people and, well, you know, if they weren't around, then I wouldn't have this problem. Oh, yeah, you would. Yeah, because, you know, it's just one thing I learned a long time ago. Don't matter, you can get rid of as many people as you have, but if you're out of line, you're always going to have you left, so that ain't going to change nothing. Wherever you go, you know, I've had people already I've counseled concerning they were divorced and they wanted a divorce. And I said, you know, if you don't change some things in your life, you can get rid of your partner, but you're going to have to live with you. And that may not be pretty at all either, because you're going to carry the same junk along. And whoever gets you again, if you marry again, you're going to have the same problems, because you go along and you're the problem. And until you deal with your problems, they don't change. You know, I learned a long time. God taught me that from the beginning. My problem was me, not my wife. What my wife does doesn't have to change me. I don't have to change me. I don't care. She's miserable. I can still be happy and smile. Well, sure, yeah, same with her. If I'm miserable, she don't have to be. I said, well, there are husbands and it makes me miserable. No, but just because you're miserable. Let's get down right where it is. You're just a pain in the rear end and you won't admit it. You're probably more trouble than they are. Let's be honest. I was more trouble than my wife was. And I complained about her. Hallelujah. But I found out as a baby Christian how to have it fixed. I didn't wait till I'd been a Christian 40 years and then have to sit and listen to it and then complain about it. I have to change. When God's been trying to teach you for how many years? And you ain't listened. Hallelujah. See, we could have joy. If Paul can sit in a prison and write a good letter to a church to encourage him and strengthen him, I ain't got no right complaining about what goes on in my life. They ain't locked me up yet. Wouldn't surprise them. Might sometime, but they ain't locked me up yet. If he can do that, then we can walk and we can have joy in life and we can walk no matter what the circumstances are. We don't have to let circumstances dominate our life and whether that we have joy or peace. Joy or peace don't leave my inner man. I'm born of joy and peace. I'm born of the love of God. That's what I am. That's my nature. If I get outside of it, it's just by this. Now I'm living in the flesh and I'm not living by my nature. My nature is to live, to do what's right and walk with what's right. Hallelujah. That's my nature. My nature. Well, you know, I just got a temper. So does everybody else. Get over it. You get saved, you don't lose your temper. You learn to control it. You got the same temper you already have. Don't deal with God about your temper. That's your job about your temper. That's not God. You can pray night and day. As long as you live in this stupid body you're in, and I got one of these stupid bodies. My temper wants to do things, and I have to slap it down. Shut, no, you ain't doing that. We ain't going there. It's not different. I remember hearing Kenneth Hagin say that. Kenneth Hagin said he had a terrible temper before he was saved as a kid. And he said, I still got a terrible temper, but I learned to keep it under control. And so do you. You got a terrible temper. You know, there's a lot of people without bad tempers. Let me just say this. They never expose it out in the open. But I'll tell you what, they hold it inside as a bitterness. And they're mad and they hold grudges. And they got them in the inside, and man, they feed them suckers. And they wonder why health problems and all kind of other stuff comes along, holding it on the inside. You ain't any better than the guy that let it out. You know, you can pass cancer along without saying a thing. You can pass it along by the spirit you have in you. You can pass ugly off on people by the spirit that's in you. You might hide it in a sense from people, but I'll tell you what, it's around. That spirit is around. You got to deal with that stuff. Keep them things under. Don't let it dominate you. Don't let it rule you. All that, you know, I found 90% of the time you're dealing with the areas of temper, you're dealing with the areas of fear. You're afraid, you're trying to protect yourself. So you strike out at anger at things. Because you're afraid things might touch you, things might get near you. You strike out about it. It's about your own fears. You got to deal with those things. Fear's an ugly thing. It brings its head out in all kind of different stuff that's weird, but its base is found in fear. And dealing with that, your flesh wants to yield over to the things of fear. Your flesh is not comfortable. Did you notice that? Your flesh is always looking for the easy way out. I always say this, your flesh is like electricity. It's always seeking the path of least resistance. Today, that's Christianity. We think faith life is the path of least resistance. The faith life, I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of resistors along the way. Hallelujah. But faith will overcome every one of them. Hallelujah. And what it leads you to is the glory of God. The easy path will never lead you to the glory. It will lead to flesh domination, where the flesh will rule and reign. We ain't going there, folks. We're not going there to that place. I'll tell you what, there's glory to be had. And I'll tell you, God says, let us become less. Let's get us the place of God. And I told the Lord, Lord, I want less of me. I want to be able to rest over on you, that you can do whatever you want. I want to be, Lord, if you say this, do this or do that, I'll just do it. I want to be, that's the place I want to walk. I want to walk in that place. I want to be at that place, Lord God, that it's not me. Hallelujah. It's not my greatness, God. I want when people, you know, you've heard, people heard me talk, say this many times. One thing has always pressed me about Jesus' ministry. He would go minister and it said they would glorify the God of Israel. In other words, they knew God was working through him. They knew it was God. If anything we need in the church world today is to know that God's working. It's hard to see it anymore. It's hard to tell whether it's a person or whatever it is. I want the clarity to come. Will they stop and they look and say, you know that bunch down there at that church? That's got to be God. They ain't got the sense to do none of that. That's got to be God working through them people. That's the place of great faith, where God can do what he wants. Where God, see, we talk about being possessed of the devil. I want to be possessed by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost don't possess us to try to take us over to force us. I'm willing to let him overtake me. Look, Holy Ghost, I give you permission. Dominate me and rule me. I need someone to dominate me and rule me. I need the Holy Ghost to do that. I need that. I don't need all my freedom. I need the freedom of the Holy Ghost. I want to live in that freedom. See, we think all this freedom stuff, we equate America's freedom and all the things. We equate all this stuff to being able to do all these different things as a freedom. And this is about God. No, it's not. If it was, we wouldn't be living in sin. It isn't about me being able to do what I want. The bottom line is, folks, is to do the will of God. That's the bottom line. It's not me doing my will. That's not freedom. I did my will for 30 years and ended up a druggie and a drunk. I did that. I don't want my freedom. I don't want it. I abused it. I ruined it. Hallelujah. I want to be dominated by God. I want to be ruled by Him. Hallelujah. I want to obey what He wants. I want to do His will. As He told Kenneth Hagin in a vision, 1987, He said, my perfect will. He said, my full blessing is on my perfect will. He said, you never have to pray and ask me to bless you if you're walking in my perfect will. Because my full blessing is in my perfect will. I said, dear Lord, most people wouldn't have anything to pray about anymore. They got in the perfect will of God because they're always praying about something they want. Hallelujah. I want to get over there where I'm just in that perfect will of God. That's where I want to go. God would have not offered that to us if we can't go there. See, the church preaches a sin gospel. We're always just going to sin. You're always just going to... What do? We were taught, if you preach those words, people have faith in it. They have faith in sinning. You're going to sin. So what? People lived up to it, didn't they? But it was preached to them to sin. We don't preach the fact that it's not normal for the Christian to sin. I think if you preach those things long enough, people get a hold of it, and after a while it'll become not the norm to sin. But that ain't what's preached. It's preached the norm of our failures and our... God didn't call you. God doesn't want you to become weak so you sin and live. He wants you in the position where you can yield to Him and His glory is on you. And you perform His deeds. And you fulfill the scriptures that Jesus said, the works that I do, you'll do also in greater works than these because I've gone to the Father. Hallelujah. That's what He wants. He wants us to come to a place where we get over, where we truly give up our life. Man, it's time Ed dies. There's things I got to kill. Hallelujah. And you know what? It's more painful killing yourself in some things than it is living in them. It is much so. A lot of people, that's their answer to it. It's easier to live in these problems than it is the work it's going to take me to kill the stupid thing in my life. But you know, I come down to the thing last night. I saw that little guy that needs to get smaller. But I saw his comparison to what's going on over there. And if I don't get God in the middle of this, that ain't changing. It's not changing. And I said, Lord, we're getting small. We're going to let Jesus Christ be glorified. We're going to let Jesus Christ be the head of the church again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to take the baby out of the manger. And we're going to take the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And we're going to bring Him to the forefront and say, here He is. Hallelujah. This is the Deliverer. This is the salvation of man. Hallelujah. And His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And He's a God-man. Hallelujah. He's all grown up God. Hallelujah. All grown up God, 100%. All grown up God. And He is our King of Kings. And He said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, I'll do it for you. Woo! What a statement! What a statement! Whatever you ask Dad in my name, He's gonna do it for you. Woo! My God. A people full of the glory of God. That's the church, and that will be the church of this age and this time. There's a glorious church riding up. It's been prophesied. There will be a people rise up in this last day who will know their God, and they'll fulfill the scripture. They'll do exploits. And hallelujah, I'm going to be in the exploit church. Hallelujah. I'm in that church. Glory to God. God's called you to that church. Are you going to walk in that church? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you, we can become less of us, can't it? We can do that. Hallelujah. God will help us get there, won't He? He'll help us become less so He can do more. We're not going to be nothings. We're going to be people who are less about us and more about Him. Hallelujah. That's what we're going to be. Life's going to be about Him and not about us. Glory to God. And we're going to see with our eyes the glory that's been prophesied into the Word of these end times. And Jesus is coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I'm just so thankful and so grateful. Hallelujah. Lord God, if Your great love and concern and mercy for us, Lord God, Lord, You have been so patient with us. You have been so kind. Lord God, You would have had every right to take the church of this nation and throw it out. You'd have every right to. You'd have every right, Lord God, but You didn't. Lord God, that You kept Your hand outreaching. Father, I am just so thankful that over the years, Lord God, that You've always had a people that belong to You. You've always had ones. And Lord God, those people, Lord God, I wouldn't be where I am today had not people walked with You. And Lord God, they stayed with You. And Lord God, I get to walk today where I'm at because Lord God, they made a path. They set a way, Lord God. They stayed true to You, Lord God, that You could come and move in my life. And I want to thank You for that. Oh, I'm so appreciative. Father, just like You did with Elijah. Elijah said, I'm the last guy left. He said, no, He said, I got 7,000 that didn't bow their knee yet. Hallelujah. And I thank You. In this nation, You got a people in this nation who have not bowed their knee. Lord God, there's people who have stayed true. There's people who have stayed in Your face. And Lord God, this nation does not stand today, but except by those people have stood in Your face. And for them, Lord God, You've called this nation to stand. And Lord, many will come into salvation. Many will come to the knowledge of the Savior Jesus Christ because they've stood. And I thank You for everyone that stood. I thank You, Lord God, to be a part of a people, Lord God, who haven't quit, haven't stopped. Lord God, who have kept pushing in. Thank You, Lord God. They're a remnant. They're, Lord God, the masses are doing crazy things, even in the masses of the church. But Lord God, there's a glory that will be brought, hallelujah, in this day, in this hour, in this time. And it's because of these ones who have thought little of themselves, but great of You, hallelujah. Lord God, they've humbled themselves in Your presence and Your glory, Lord God. And now in this day and time has come to rest upon them. Your hand has come to be upon them, Lord God. And I thank You that that glory
is coming forth in this day and in this hour, Lord God. Lord, we stand forth and we say today, I will be one. I will stand forth in the name of Jesus. I will be one who stands out. I will allow you, Lord God, to do your will and your plan and your purpose through me. Hallelujah. I will allow you, Lord God, to reveal your glories for the sake of others, for the sake of those, Lord God, who don't know you. Lord God, so they don't go off to hell, Lord God. Lord, we want them reached. And Lord God, your glory will shake this nation. Hallelujah. This nation will be shaken, Lord God. Lord, there'll be a cry of repentance for many. Hallelujah. Of a turning back. And Lord, many of your people who have walked out here, Lord God, and have paid no attention, Lord God, have followed the things of the flesh. I thank you, Lord God, many will be shaken and turned back, Lord God, again, to come back to walk again with you and walk in fellowship with you again, Lord God. Hallelujah. And to know your glory and your fellowship once more. And Father, we thank you for it. Father, we want to be a part of what you're doing. And whatever we have to do, Lord God, Lord, I just want to follow the pattern that you laid out concerning Gideon. Lord God, no matter what it seems like, Lord God, whatever might come up, whatever you tell us to go, if you say, just take the trumpet, or just take, Lord God, the word, Lord God, the word is the trumpet, hallelujah. And you say, just take the word, hallelujah. And the word's the light, Lord God. And Lord God, the light won't be hidden. That the word's enough. And you say, just go take the word. Lord God, we'll just obey you and just go take the word. Hallelujah. Because miracles, signs, and wonders will come from the word. Hallelujah. Lord God, we have in Mark 16, Lord God, the signs follow the word. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord God. We'll blow the trumpet of the word in this day and this time, and we'll stay with it. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we'll not be changed and we'll not be moved till the glory falls. And we thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. Because the glory will fall in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the glory will fall. Hallelujah. 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 Brotke pepe frute, beperete ke fenio mamaketite, brote fini la mamokea no sheliataha, branfiki keleketi shipi fefrete gibora mamakieti apuhata, memvrage dege shishke brote keneke yatushi. Ha ha. For I've set forth my plan in the earth, and my plan's running according to what I said it would be. Yes, and it looks like the devil has risen up, and many men have risen up, and they're doing things, and all around you, you see things, and they seem contrary, that it's all contrary to the word, it's contrary, and it seems like they're succeeding. It seems as if they're doing things, but I, the Lord, say to you, it's all a show. It's all of show. For I have set forth, and I have a show that I have set forth, and my show will come forth. And I will show my glory in these days and hour. And these ones who have stepped forth with their things, ha ha ha, it is but trivia in my sight. For I have set forth my glory, which will come, and men will be astounded, and their mouths will be closed and shut. And many who will not move out of the way will be removed out of the way. For I have set myself forth in this time and hour, and there's a reaching I want to do in this nation, and there's a people to be touched, and I will not be held back from it, says the Lord. Though for those who stand in my way, they will be removed, for I will reach those ones whose hearts have been waiting for something. They have been waiting for what they haven't even known. But Lord God, it says that there is a craving within them. There is a craving within them, and I will meet that craving, and they will come to know my Son. They will come and walk in His glory and know His presence. For I say to you in this day and time, step forth with boldness and confidence. Step forth, for I've called you out. For I've set you forth for this day and hour. For I have put you where you're at. So stand forth in the glory. Stand forth and speak the words. Stand forth. Do not be afraid of the things that come on the right or to the left. Do not fear. Hallelujah. For I have set my hand upon you, and my word will deliver you in every circumstance and everything. For my anointing is upon you. Walk in that anointing. Hallelujah. And you will see my glory. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Yes, 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 Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, we'll walk in that. We'll walk in that. Hallelujah. We're walking in that place. We're walking in that place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord wants me to say this to you. You might be sitting here today and you're thinking, well, I don't feel like I'm anointed. That has nothing to do with being anointed. Amen. The angel appeared to to Gideon, called him a mighty man of valor. Did he lie? Gideon didn't feel like a mighty man of valor. That didn't mean he wasn't. You see, the scripture, everybody today wants to have a feeling. They want to have some kind of feeling. See, faith isn't about following a feeling. I feel anointed. If I went by feeling of anointing, I'd have never got up this morning to preach. I tell you what, I was standing down here and we had worship. I've never felt so not anointed. And I'm thinking, Lord, you got a sermon for me, and I didn't know I was supposed to go with it yet. I don't know. And there was no anointing there. There's no anointing. But you learn to walk by faith. He gave you a message. He gave you something. See, you're going to have to blow the trumpet. What we want to have, give me the anointing, I'll blow the trumpet. Give me a feeling, and I'll blow the trumpet. That isn't how it works. It's not. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong. He said, you're supposed to be strong. Be strong. Would He tell you to be strong? You couldn't? Well, you just don't know how weak I am. Oh, I see. Bible lied about you. Poor old dumb Jesus didn't know about you, did he? Be strong in the Lord. He didn't tell you to be strong. You couldn't be strong. You can be strong. Hallelujah. You can be strong. You determine that. Number one, get your mouth saying the right things. Get your mouth calling yourself strong. Let the weak say, I'm strong. He didn't say, let the strong say, I'm strong. He said, let the weak say, I'm strong. Hallelujah. Praise God, I'm strong. I'm strong. How strong do you feel? We don't want to go there. Why? I ain't moved by, I don't care how I feel, feeling. If I'm moved by feeling, then I'll be moved by feeling later. That has nothing to do with it. I'm strong. Strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I'm not strong in my might. I'm strong in His. Glory to God. You're strong in His might. That's what He said. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You got the might of God on you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Follow the strength of the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Holy Spirit, we want to ask you if you have anything else you want to do. Because we're interested in what you desire to do. What you want. Hallelujah. We want to obey. Hallelujah. So if there's anything else you desire, we surely want to follow that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah? Okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord God, for talking to us today. And Lord, especially, Lord God, talking to me. I'm just, hallelujah. Lord God, I needed these things. I needed to get these things out for my own sake, not just for theirs. And I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I thank you for taking us to something greater. Lord God, our desires and dreams have been to walk in your plan and in your perfect will. It's what we've wanted to do. And Lord God, you're bringing us right into it. And I want to thank you. You're so gracious and kind. Lord, I'm so glad we don't have to do this in our strength and all of our abilities and all the wisdom and all the figuring and thinking that we can do. I want to thank you. You put the wise one in us, the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I'm so glad to have you living in me. I'm so thankful that you take what belongs to Jesus and you reveal it to me and show it to me. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're leading us and guiding us. You're directing us. You're showing us what to do, and we're doing it, and Jesus Christ is being glorified. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.